Russia's billionaire business elites are often called oligarchs. They have been sanctioned by governments after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Now, one of the highest profile oligarchs has even joined ceasefire talks in Turkey, though it was also reported he had been poisoned. So, what exactly are their roles, if any, in Russian circles of power? Let's put that to Angela Stent. She's a Russia expert at Georgetown University, and her book is Putin's World: Russia Against the West and with the Rest. Angela Stent, welcome.
Thank you.
So, for those of us far away, can you remind us what we mean by these Russian business oligarchs and how they amass their wealth?
So in the 1990s, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, everything was up for grabs: oil, gas, precious minerals. And so a number of kind of enterprising people, and there were very few rules at that point, just started making money, buying and selling, doing whatever they could. And then a key moment was in 1996. So a number of these people had already amassed quite a lot of wealth. And they got together at the Davos Forum, World Economic Forum, and they were very worried because Yeltsin was up for election and his popularity numbers were in the single digits. And they got together and they said, we got to do everything to make sure that the communists don't come back, because at that point it looked like the communists could have come back and they would have taken away all their wealth. So they decided to give a lot of money to support Yeltsin. And in return for that, they were allowed to buy all of these assets, again, oil, gas, and precious metals at bargain basement prices. And for the rest of the duration of the Yeltsin presidency, they also owned a lot of the media. So they were quite influential.
Now, one of these oligarchs in the news the last few days is Roman Abramovich, owner of the Chelsea Football Club in the English Premier League. Tell us briefly how he made his billions. Was that in the oil business?
Yes, that was in the oil business. He started off again buying and selling a number of different commodities, but it really was in the oil business, created an oil company and made a fortune on it. And in the end, it was sold. But by that time, he already had billions.
Now, he had appeared to have had an unofficial role at these ceasefire talks in Turkey this week. He was seen there. Why might Roman Abramovich been there? And on whose side, who might he have been representing?
Well, he, you know, we talk about oligarchs that are close to Putin. I don't think any of them are that close to him anymore, but certainly he does have a longstanding relationship with Putin. And so he would certainly be able to represent, if you like, the Russian government without being an official member of that government. But he also does have ties to Ukrainians. He has roots there. President Zelensky knows him and clearly thought that he would be an appropriate mediator in these talks. But I have to say, it's really not clear what kind of a role he's playing. He's there. We've seen him in Turkey at those talks. But, you know, the people who are making decisions are the people in the Kremlin. They're not these other oligarchs.
Yeah. And there are reports he was poisoned in Kyiv in the run-up to these talks. What should we make of that?
Well, I guess what we can make of that is everything is very murky when you're talking about what's going on in the war and this part of the world. But it would presumably mean that there was some faction that doesn't want these talks to succeed or didn't want him involved in them. And so it was a warning sign. From what I've read, it wouldn't have been enough to kill him or the other people who were poisoned, but it was a warning sign.
Yeah. Now, countries including the UK have sanctioned many of these wealthy oligarchs, frozen their assets there, on the assumption it appears that they have some sway over Vladimir Putin. Do they?
No, I think this is a misunderstanding of the Russian system. I mean, they became rich and were able to accumulate their assets really at the pleasure of the Tsar, at the pleasure of the president. And so the influence doesn't go in the direction of the Kremlin. They meet periodically with Putin. He makes sure that they stay out of politics, but he's not going to listen to their views on what's happening in the war. He's listening to the views of a few people around him who come from the security services, from the military, and even then, if we listen to what our own government is saying, they're not giving him correct information. So to think that by sanctioning the oligarchs, this is going to change Russian policy, change Putin's mind, that's a misunderstanding of the system.
Okay, so I guess in this complicated situation here, what influence, what leverage do these business oligarchs have?
I don't think they have much leverage at all. I mean, they're obviously suffering from the fact that they're losing their yachts and their bank accounts and their homes, and they're not happy about that. But there's really not very much they can do about it.
Yeah. Okay. Angela Stent is a Georgetown University Russia scholar. Thank you, Angela, again for taking the time.
Good. Good to talk to you.